Hello, Stuart and Jody here. We've now had 9 weeks of lockdown, and this will be the 10th sermon that we've recorded online. I do miss the interaction of preaching to a live congregation, but this is the means by which I have to communicate now. And I know that God, through his Holy Spirit, does use these recordings to minister to people's lives, and I give thanks for that. So first of all, we'll have our scripture reading, which is from John's Gospel, John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. So John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11.
After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything that you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. And I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one."
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray that the reading of your word and my reflection and meditation upon it would speak into people's lives. By your Holy Spirit, open people's hearts and minds as they listen to this recording now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We often hear about Jesus praying in the Gospels. We have numerous incidents of that, and often he gets up very early to pray, to be alone, to commune with his Father in prayer. But apart from the Lord's Prayer, we don't often know what he prayed. Here in our reading, we get some of the content of Jesus's prayers passed down by John, perhaps reflected upon over many years and shaped by his experience of the risen Christ, but it is a prayer of Jesus and the risen Christ at the same time. And it's insightful to hear Jesus's praying, and that should shape how and what we pray for too. At the beginning of the passage, it says that Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed. So he looks up to his Father in heaven symbolically, and he prays. What does he pray? He addresses his God as Father and says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." So how does Jesus glorify God the Father? He glorifies God the Father by his life, but primarily and principally by his death on the cross. For John, God's glory is most fully revealed on the cross. Here we see how much God loves us and the lengths that he's prepared to go to win us back, to win our love. We are not called to glorify God in exactly the same way. Jesus's death was unique, once and for all people. God doesn't need more deaths, but we are called to glorify God with our lives, showing his love and sacrificing our desires to his greater glory. We have been given freedom, but that freedom is not for our own benefit, but for the benefit and blessing of others. This raises interesting issues coming out of this time of lockdown where the economy is being opened up and the restrictions are being lessened. How do we use the freedom that we are being given to glorify God? First of all, don't be selfish. Selfishness has been unveiled or revealed at this time, as has care and compassion. What side are we on? Are we just interested in what we want to do personally or our own family? Or are we concerned about the needs of others, especially those who are vulnerable and weak and suffering, who are still in danger that if they caught this virus, it could be fatal to them? I get quite worried when you go out and you see people carrying on as normal, not respecting social distancing, as if everything was hunky-dory. We're in a sense of false reality. The government tells us to stay alert, but are we, or have we fallen into complacency at these times? How do we use the freedom that we have? It's not a selfish, individualistic freedom, but it's a freedom that finds its fulfillment in the service of others, which, as the Anglican Collect says, is perfect freedom. Jesus goes on to pray about giving eternal life to all those who were given to him. He says, "For you have granted him," that is Jesus, "authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." Now, what is eternal life? Sometimes we think of eternal life, it's just something that happens when you die, when you go to heaven after you die. But it's not just for when you die. Eternal life begins now. And what is eternal life? In verse 3, Jesus says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." So eternal life is to know God, to know the one true God, and to know Jesus who reveals him. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? God has made himself known to us in and through Jesus. That's what the incarnation's all about, that we wouldn't know what God was like unless he came to us in person and showed us what he is like. But that wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. God is alive and active through the power and experience of the Holy Spirit in the here and now, right now. And he wants us to know him now, to experience it, his love and forgiveness now. And this will flow on into eternity, where we will fully know and experience God and his love and his glory in all its fullness. In fact, if we experience God's love and glory in all its fullness whilst on earth, it would probably kill us. It would probably overwhelm us with God's beauty, God's love, and God's glory. And then Jesus is seen praying for his disciples. In verse 9, it says, "I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours." When it's saying he's not praying for the world, there's nothing against the world as such. You know, the world is the object of God's love, but the world in that is the world in rebellion against God and his purposes in that sense. But he's praying for his disciples, and that is encouraging. And he continues to pray for his disciples even now. The writer to the Hebrews talks about this in chapter 7, verse 25, where it says, "Therefore he," that is Christ, "is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." So we have here Christ who continues to intercede for us, to pray for us, even now in heaven at the right hand of God. Jesus still prays and intercedes for us. Our great high priest is praying and interceding for us. That is a great encouragement, that when we can't pray for ourselves, that Jesus is praying and interceding for us. But what is he praying? I would hasten to guess that he's praying the same things that he prayed whilst here on earth, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says also in Hebrews. And when he prays for the disciples, he prays in verse 11, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." So what he's praying for here is for protection, because he's going away. He's going to die and returning to his Father. He won't be with them in the same way to protect them. So he's praying for their protection, to be protected in the name of God, the character, the quality of God. And he's praying for them to be united in unity. He's praying for them to be protected from evil forces, from the evil one. That protection didn't mean there would be no suffering or death. If we look at the life of the first disciples, most of them were martyred and killed for their loyalty to Jesus. So it doesn't mean we are given a free pass where we don't have any suffering or nothing ill befalls us. That doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we are protected and that we remain in God's love, and nothing can separate us from God's love. Not even death can separate us from God's love. As Paul says in Romans 8, starting at verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So even though we may be killed, even though we may get coronavirus, nothing can separate us from God's love. And ultimately, we will enter fully into that love at some point, either at our death or when God draws all things to completion at the end of history and his purposes. As well as protection, Jesus prays for unity. And unity is essential, because a disunited community, a disunited church, struggles to show forth God's love to the wider world. People need to look at us as a church family and see in our love something attractive, something that draws them and makes them think, "I want some of that. I want to be part of such a loving community." The first Christians were known for that. They were saying, "See how these Christians love one another." And that had an attractional pull to other people when they saw the love that they had for each other, and not just for each other, but for those out with their community. For the poor and the marginalized, they showed love and compassion. They fed the hungry. They clothed the naked. They looked after people who, during plagues, were left to die in the streets. They went and nursed them and cared for them. And that caused an explosion of evangelism, where people thought, "Wow, why are these people caring for us?" And they should also ask the same questions of us. Why do we care, not just for each other, but for those in the wider community? We care because the love of Christ lives within us. Unity, however, does not mean uniformity. We don't have to all think the same. How boring it would be if we all had the same theological views or political views or opinions. We can think differently, but we are challenged to love each other, and that's difficult when we have different outlooks, we have different priorities, we have different theological views. But we can still have those different opinions and love each other. It doesn't mean we have to think the same about everything. But loving each other, seeking that unity of love, isn't easy. It is a sacrifice. It costs us. It often means putting others' needs first. Hard in these days of spatial isolation. That's a term used by the singer Billy Bragg. He doesn't like the word social isolation, because just because we can't be together physically doesn't mean we're isolated socially, or I would add spiritually. We may be apart from each other physically, but that doesn't mean that we can't be united in Christ through the Spirit, or our love showing itself in different ways. But how do we love people when we can't visit people, when we can't hug people? I found that particularly difficult this week when we had May's funeral and there was 10 people in the crematorium, all socially distancing, spatially apart from each other. You normally like to go over to the grieving family, give them a hug, comfort them, but you can't do such simple things. And I find it hard when I'm doing funerals at the moment. I can't even visit people to talk about the funerals. I would normally go and pray with people, give them a hug, be with them at these difficult times, and you have to do everything over the phone, and it seems so impersonal and so inadequate in many ways. So how do we love each other in these times when we can't visit? I think it comes down to prayer again. That the most loving thing we can do for people is to pray for them. On Thursday of last week, we had Ascension Day, and we started the Thy Kingdom Come initiative, where we're encouraged to pray for family and friends to come and to know Christ for themselves. If you haven't already started that, I would encourage you to look at the Thy Kingdom Come website, which is thykingdomcome.global website. And I know some of you would have been sent out by post the prayer journal. And I would encourage you to use that journal each day to pray for 5 people, that they may come to know Christ better. They may come to know and experience his love and his forgiveness for themselves. Because the best gift anyone can receive is the gift of Christ's love and forgiveness, where they receive that for themselves and they know themselves as loved and forgiven. So we may not be able to visit people, we may not be able to hug people at the moment, but we can bring them to God in prayer and pray that God would open their eyes and hearts to know how much he loves them in Christ, and that they could make steps towards him. And also, I would ask your prayers at this time as we look to starting an Alpha course online in the coming weeks. That if that's something you would like to be involved in as a host, as a guest, or as a participant, or as someone to pray for it, then you would take that to God in prayer, because everything needs to be undergirded with prayer. We see here Jesus praying for himself to be glorified, to give God the glory in his life and in his death. And then he prays for his disciples for protection and for unity. So we know that Jesus is praying for us even now, praying for our protection, for our unity. It gives us encouragement to know that he is interceding for us even now. So let's join Jesus in the prayer that he is praying for us and join our prayers to his as we pray. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for each other in these difficult times where we feel inadequate in the way that we can love and care for each other. Not just by your Spirit to show us the ways that we can show love in these times. And help us to exercise self-restraint at these times, that we look out for each other, love each other by keeping our distance, by looking out for the needs of the weak and the vulnerable and the frail at these times. Help us to raise our voices to speak out for those who have no voice at this time. And Lord, we pray for those we long to know your love for themselves, for family and friends. We pray that you would soften their hearts, open their minds, that they can come to experience for themselves your love, which is the best gift anyone can receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Each one of us is precious to Jesus, and in this passage he prayed for us. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they be one as we are one. In these days of social distancing, self-isolation and NHS shielding, let us remember we at Kerry are still all members of the same part of the body of Christ. Imagine you're sitting in church, ready for the start of the service. Look around you and see all the familiar faces. Bring to mind all those you meet through the brigades, toddling or woman's own. Let us pray for each other now. Dear Lord, although we are physically separated from one another, remind us that we are one through and in your Holy Spirit.
We bring to mind those who have lost a loved one, the families of Mary Court and Eileen Dunkley, Trevor Wilson and Marge Franklin, and their families and friends. Comfort them and give them your peace.
We think of those who are struggling with enforced isolation and missing social contact. We pray that they will continue to feel a valued part of your church at Kerry.
We bring to you the worries we have in this time of uncertainty about what the future may bring. job security, physical and mental well-being, finances, relationships, church life after COVID. Help us remember, Heavenly Father, that we have your protection.
We give thanks for all those actions maintaining our unity as one body. The Sunday updates and sermons. The plans for an online Alpha course. The internet groups maintaining contact within the brigades and Toddle Inn. Those phone calls, emails, texts and letters to each other, showing and sharing your love.
We thank you, Lord, that we can come together in the Holy Spirit as we pray in your name. Fill us with your peace this week.
Amen.